Hey guys, welcome back to Real Time Crime.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Javai.
We just wanted to start off this episode by thanking you guys so much for all the support we received on our very first episode. It was incredible to see how many of you guys are actually listening, and we're really glad that you're joining us again for our second episode about Marlene Ochoa. Take it away, Javai.
Okay guys, so before we get started, I do want to let everyone know that there are some graphic descriptions when I talk about this case. So if you have a sensitive stomach or you get easily squeamish, please feel free to fast forward and we should be all good. I also want to let you know that it's a very sad case overall. When I was doing my research, I cried a lot. So it might also make you cry, FYI. So those are the two warnings. And this was a story that was very, very close to me when I was living in Chicago. It was in a very close area, so it's a story that overall touched my heart very much. So I'm really excited to be able to cover it in our new podcast. So this is a story of Marlene Ochoa's murder. Marlene was a 19-year-old daughter to Raquel Uriostegui and Arnulfo Ochoa. She had one brother, Oscar Ochoa. They were born in San Luis de la Loma, Guerrero, in Mexico, as reported by the Minds of Madness episode on Marlene and Giovanni. They migrated to the U.S. and settled in Chicago when Marlene was 2 years old. Marlene was married to Giovanni Lopez, and they had 1 3-year-old son at this time. They were actually childhood sweethearts, and they had their first child right before she turned 16. Marlene was 9 months pregnant and was due early May 10th, 2019. She was finishing high school and she said that she didn't have enough money. Therefore, she was looking for free things for her baby. She was part of this Facebook group called Help a Sister Out, and she posted asking for help. So on March 5th of 2019, she made a post to this Facebook group and she stated, "Hello ladies, I'm due May 10th and I still need a lot of things for my son. Due to the fact that I'm in school and can't work at the moment, I can't afford to buy the rest of the things since I'm short on cash right now." Another woman that was also part of this Facebook group named Clarissa Figueroa then commented on that Facebook post saying, "I have new things, but I'm in Chicago." Marlene replied, "What's your location?" Clarissa replied, "I'm on the south side of Chicago by 79th and Pulaski. If you want to wait a week, my girl has all brand new clothes her son never wore." Marlene replied, "Yes, girl, that's fine. Thank you so much." Clarissa replied, "No problem, girl. I know how it is. She was lucky to have 2 baby showers, so she just loves to spread the wealth. I'm fine with the help. Inbox me for more information, okay?" Marlene replied, "Thank you, girl. I'll inbox you." And that was their first ever interaction. Marlene then arranged to go to Clarissa's house, and they met up on April 23rd, 2019, after Marlene left school. She was supposed to pick up her son from kindergarten, but she decided to make a pit stop instead and pick up her baby clothes first. When Marlene walked in the home on the 4100 block of West 77th Place, she sat on Clarissa's couch and was given a picture book to look at. Kind of weird to begin with, but little did we know, it was actually used as a distraction. Not soon after, she was violently attacked by Clarissa. So this is where it gets kind of graphic, because I'll be explaining how they murdered Marlene. So if you want to forward a couple minutes, and we'll get back to the story. Clarissa was a 46-year-old woman who attacked Marlene from behind, strangling her with a cable. And this cable was not a regular cable. It was like the thick ones that you use for the TV or the cable. So you can only imagine getting strangled with a thick cable like that.
Right, yeah.
I want to specifically mention that Marlene fought very, very hard for her life. She was able to get her fingers under the cable to release some pressure. But when Clarissa realized this, she yelled at her daughter, telling her she wasn't doing her job.
She wasn't doing her job.
Right. So this just tells me that they have been planning this for a long time, if obviously they were each assigned a job.
Right, very specific.
So Desiree, the daughter, then stepped up and began to peel Marlene's fingers from the cable one by one to, you know, get her fingers out. Clarissa then got on top of Marlon and continued to strangle her. But get this, for 4 to 5 minutes, the report stated.
You're joking.
I can't imagine how long those 4 minutes must have felt, because a plank for 1 minute feels like for freaking ever. So 4 minutes of getting strangled, just, I can't fathom that idea.
It's awful.
And I can't imagine the thoughts that were going through her head. She, you know, she has a 3-year-old son, and just slowly losing her life for that long must have been horrible for her. So once Clarissa confirmed that Marlon was lifeless, she used a kitchen knife, literally from her kitchen, to cut open Marlon's stomach and cut the baby out of her womb. Shortly after, she called 911 to report that she had given birth at home, but her baby wasn't breathing. 911 then showed up to her house and transported her to the hospital. When they arrived to the hospital with the baby, the staff were very confused because obviously Clarissa didn't have signs of being in distress or, you know, just giving birth.
Right.
Because obviously she didn't. And she didn't have blood in her lower body. She actually had some in, like, her face and her upper body.
So but she's still just, like, covered in Marlon's blood.
Yeah.
Didn't even take a shower.
Yeah.
Didn't make it look like something had happened. Nothing. Just went to the hospital.
All right. But nonetheless, the hospital admitted her, and the baby was immediately put on life support. He had suffered severe trauma, due to being cut out of his mom's womb.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at their home, they had placed Marlon's body in a trash bag and left it in their backyard. I also want to point out that Clarissa's boyfriend, Peter Boback, was an accomplice who helped with the cleanup and concealing the murder. Shortly after the baby was born, they actually started a GoFundMe for the baby's funeral that raised $9,000.
And the baby was still, like, alive, just on life support, but alive in the hospital. And they're already asking for money for a funeral.
Yes, and this actually surprised me because usually GoFundMe accounts are for, like, medical bills, hospital bills, etc. But the fact that they're already planning a funeral for this baby that's not even theirs just baffles me.
Wow.
So, meanwhile, Marlon's family is still actively looking for her. We're still on the day of April 23rd. So this behavior was very unusual of Marlon because she actually was supposed to pick up her son from kindergarten that day, and she not only didn't show up to pick him up, but she just never showed up back home.
Right, how miraculous she decided to go get these baby clothes before picking him up. It's
impossible that she would have not picked her son up.
Yeah.
Right. So Marlon's husband officially reported her missing on April 24th, which was the next day, and Marlon's family continued to desperately search for her. 3 weeks passed by, and the family heard nothing. During all this time, the baby was still in the hospital on life support. Clarissa and her boyfriend, Peter Boback, actually named him Xander because they had already been waiting for this baby.
They had the audacity to name this kid. They're still collecting money from a GoFundMe for a funeral, and he's still alive, and it's not even their kid.
Correct. I read many articles stating that the language barrier between Marlon's family and the police might have been a factor to why it took so long to get a lead. Like I mentioned, it took 3 weeks for them to even hear anything. So that could have been a factor too.
Yeah.
So now let's go back and talk about Clarissa for a little bit. So like I mentioned, she's a 46-year-old woman who had been planning this murder for many, many months to eventually take the baby from her victim. She actually, like I said, had been planning this, but I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think she actually knew her victim was going to be Marlene until she actually met her on the Facebook page.
So it was more of just, I know I want a baby, this is how I'll do it. And I'll just find the person later.
Correct. Wow. Correct. So Clarissa was also a part of this Facebook group called Help a Sister Out. And she posted on this Facebook page on February 5th that she was starting to prepare for the arrival of her baby boy, Xander. So she had already picked out a name for him. February 5th. Many group members and her own Facebook friends were very surprised to hear that she was pregnant, quote unquote pregnant.
Right.
Due to the fact that she had announced that she had her tubes tied.
Ma'am.
Yes. So I'm actually going to show you some screenshots that she had posted on her Facebook page. On February 5th, she posted a picture of a crib and some other, like, it's like a changing station. And she posted, "Baby Xander's crib is set up. Now we're just waiting for your arrival."
She's even got, like, the wooden letters up on the wall of his name. Like, it is a full setup crib. She's got a diaper changing table with, like, those cube sorting containers underneath. Like, she's ready to go.
Yes. On March 27th, she posted another picture and said, "Finally finished the baby section, so all we need to do is wait for his arrival."
Yeah, she painted a tree on the wall. Yep. Like, she made a whole... Wow.
So then, one of her Facebook friends commented, "You're having a baby? ? Did you get that operation for your fallopian tube so that you could get pregnant again? Well, I guess congratulations are in order." Obviously, everyone knew that her tubes had been tied.
Yeah.
She's a 46-year-old woman, and she's pregnant all of a sudden.
Right, yeah, it doesn't make sense. And then, I mean, this is February 5th, and then by mid-April, she has a baby.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Another person commented, "Clarissa, how did you get pregnant then? They just came apart on their own? ! I'd be suing the hospital where they tied them."
Yeah.
"Laughing but very serious. You can get a lot of money. Girl, we're too freaking old to be trying to start all over again. And that money will probably help with all those baby bills. Seriously, though." Clarissa then replied, stating that she had an emergency surgery for her appendix, and that when they went in to remove it, they saw a cyst on her ovary and they had to untie her ovaries. Apparently, when they removed the cyst, she says that they forgot to tie it back up. And she says, "Here I am a year later having a baby."
They tied her ovaries.
Yeah, this whole comment is, I had a hard time reading it. But so then this other friend replies, "Crazy girl, ! Get yourself a lawyer, regardless of the little miracle. Get your money." Clarissa says, "Yeah, I was actually thinking about the same thing."
Mm-hmm.
A Sun Times report interviewed a member of the Facebook group, Adriana Floyd, and she stated, quote, "It never really made sense to us. We thought either you're lying or you're crazy. It seemed like she wanted attention." Quote. After Clarissa's Facebook post on February 5th, I actually read an article that was the first time that her and Marlon met up, and Marlon was actually 7 months pregnant at this time. She was still looking for baby items, but this time it was a stroller instead of clothes. Then on April 1st, the article states that Clarissa told her daughter Desiree that, quote, "she needed help killing a pregnant woman and taking the baby," quote. So around the same time was when Marlon went to their house, and Desiree's boyfriend was actually present at this time. He stated that they were being weird, and on numerous occasions they went into a separate room together. So that's
who went
when
into a different room.
Desiree and Clarissa, so the mom and the daughter.
Oh, they just kept leaving.
Yeah, like they were being weird.
It's really weird.
Yeah. So when Desiree's boyfriend realized, you know, something fishy was going on, he threatened Desiree that he would call the police if they attempted to kill Marlon. When Marlon left their house, Clarissa and Desiree actually told the boyfriend that it was just an April Fool's joke and that they didn't actually mean to do it.
Yeah, very funny.
Right. Like I had already mentioned before, Clarissa posted on the Facebook group on March 5th asking, quote, "Who is due in May? Where is the May mamas at?" Quote. On the same day, Marlon also made a post, which I had read before, and that was when their first interaction happened. After this day, they set up a day and time to meet. Peter Bobek, who is Clarissa's boyfriend, actually also posted on Facebook many times. He had a lot of posts stating, quote, "My baby, hopefully twins, I love Clarissa," quote. He would tag Clarissa in a lot of her posts, and he would post pictures of their ultrasound. I'm going to show you. And he would say that he was anxiously waiting for their new baby boy.
That's like a legit ultrasound. Did they just Google a picture of an ultrasound?
Yes. So they actually Googled. I saw an article where they compared this ultrasound picture to Google images of ultrasounds.
Yeah.
And all they did was edit it, add Clarissa's name, and add this blessed sign that you see.
Yeah, here. I see. At least they went to the detail of putting her name and the right date and stuff on there. But wow. He's in on it. This is...
Right.
That's it.
And Peter actually shared the GoFundMe page on his Facebook and stated, quote, "My son is a fighter. He made it this far, but not much time left. Life support, brain dead. Very little function in the brain." So I think this is when they were thinking more funeral rather than hospital bills because of the baby's, poor condition in the hospital. Sure. And Peter Bobek was actually also in charge of concealing and cleaning while Clarissa and Desiree were in the hospital with the baby. So I think part of this is his fault,
Well, yeah.
He didn't do a good job at cleaning. Not that I'm trying to conceal the crime, but he was not only concealing it, but also he was in charge of cleaning up after the murder. So,
wow, he's very involved. There's no way around that.
Yep. So the case did not get a lead until May 7th, about 3 weeks later, when one of Marlene's friends brought up the fact that Marlene had actually been talking to this woman about the baby clothes and that they had talked about meeting up. After the police looked further into it, they discovered that Marlene did actually go to Clarissa's house on April 23rd. Detectives searched the area and found Marlene's car in the vicinity of Clarissa's house. What I thought was really messed up was that when they saw the car, it actually had a lot of parking tickets. So that means that police saw the car and...
were running the plate.
Right. And it's insane to me because she was missing for 3 weeks and you're running her plates, but you still couldn't make the connection that this was her car.
Right.
And I also read that Clarissa had been moving the car through a lot of different parking spots to avoid, getting tickets, even though she still did get tickets. So if you see Marlene's car getting moved around, I would assume that the police would question. There's obviously some activity going on.
Yeah,
some movement
something
going
weird
on.
Is going on.
And nothing was ever caught. So it really made me mad.
Yeah.
The detectives actually interviewed Clarissa, and when they asked her if she had met with her on the 23rd, she denied it. However, she did confirm that she had met with her in the past. Per a CNN article, detectives were still suspicious of Clarissa, so they subpoenaed hospital records to collect DNA samples from the baby, Clarissa, and Giovanni. Sure enough, the test came back negative for Clarissa and positive for Giovanni. So it was at this very moment that they discovered that baby Xander was actually Marlene's son. Marlene and Giovanni had already decided to name the baby Giovanni, but unfortunately they had already legally named him Xander, and his birth certificate still says Xander. After receiving a search warrant for Clarissa's house, they discovered blood on the floors, burnt clothes, bleach and cleaning solutions, and finally, when they got to the back of the house, they found Marlene's body in the garbage can in the backyard, along with the cable that was used to strangle her.
I mean, for something that they really seem to have planned out, this is really sloppy. Like, ridiculously so.
Yeah, and like we mentioned before, Clarissa had planned this for months, many, many months, and yeah, it's insane that... I'm not trying to say cover up a murder, but...
Right, but if you've gone through the whole thing of literally, she painted the wall of the nursery, like, went through all of that and didn't plan the, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. So, the medical examiner determined that her cause of death was strangulation. Clarissa and her daughter were both charged with first-degree murder as well as aggravated battery. Clarissa's boyfriend, Peter Bobek, was also charged with concealing the death of a person and concealing a homicidal death. Unfortunately, baby Giovanni did not make it and passed away on May 15th. It was reported that he had been brain dead due to all the trauma at birth when he was cut out of his mother's womb. And he had already been on life support for about 3 weeks. Thankfully, baby Yovani was able to spend some time with his real family and with his father before passing away. After baby Yovani passed away, fortunately, all three, Desiree, Clarissa, and Peter, were also charged with the murder of baby Yovani. So now, 2 years later, Marlon's family is still waiting for justice. I couldn't really find anything regarding their court or any sentencing, but they were not able to receive bond, so fortunately, they are still in jail. On November 1st, 2019, while still in custody, Desiree Figueroa gave birth to a baby of her own, meaning that she was about 2 to 3 months pregnant when they committed the murder of Marlon. The death of Marlon will forever stay in her family's heart, and unfortunately, she left behind a son who is now about 5 years old. The community paid many tributes to her death, and many vigils were conducted as well. A mural was actually painted in the community of Pilsen on 16th and Newberry, and it was completed with a picture of baby Yovani and a picture of Marlon. I'll actually post a picture of it on our Instagram so everyone can see. Our deepest condolences go to Marlon's family, and we will continue to wait for justice, hoping that the three individuals, Clarissa, Desiree, and Peter Bobek, receive every last bit of justice that is due.
So I think like the big takeaway for me would be to just be as cautious as possible when you're entering situations like this. I mean, it's all wonderful if you can get the supplies that you need for free, mm-hmm. you know, people helping each other out, but especially when you're in such a vulnerable position like that, you know, just try to be as cautious as possible. There's all kinds of people out there.
Clearly, people are very evil, and remember, stranger danger. If, like you said, it's wonderful that people want to help out, but maybe take someone else or send your significant other, maybe your husband, or just go with someone else, meet in a
public... Yeah, go with a friend, like we talked about in our last episode. Exactly. The buddy system is so important.
Or even better, meet in a public place. Meet in, like, Walmart parking lot. Meet at a gas station. Meet anywhere.
In your police department's parking lot. I mean, that would really deter someone, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. So hopefully with this little bit of advice, we can for sure avoid any other tragedies.
Yeah. We will definitely keep you guys posted with any updates that we find out. We're still waiting to hear about, you know, what the trial is going to be and stuff. I'm sure a lot of this was postponed from COVID.
Definitely, yeah.
So we will be looking out for any news.
Yep. And as always, don't forget to follow us on Instagram, and we will be back in a couple of weeks with a new category for the month of October. Thank you guys.
Thanks.